Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Schomburg Stu's not here. I, of course, am the Big Jack, and with me is Dan the Man. This is the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio because I couldn't come up with a good reference for the Geico Camel commercial that I love that they brought back, so we're just going to call it Wednesday. If you'd like to call into the podcast and talk to us, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need? Head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so, hey, there was a brand new one that popped up over there this morning. If you haven't, get yourself over there and check it out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. Yeah. We also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan is at
Dan the Man with three E's.
So, all right, Dan. I heard a interesting. Let's call it an observation that I think I would kind of like to know where you stand on this thing, but. There are people who are saying that now it's the Cincinnati Reds who have the best offense in the National League. Here's their projected lineup, Dan, according to Ross Bezort. Jose Peraza would lead off. It would be Scooter Jeanette second, Joey Votto third, Eugenio Suarez fourth, Matt Kemp fifth, Scott Schebler sixth, Yasiel Puig seventh, and Tucker Barnhart eighth. Of course, they're still ninth in the National League, so you got to deal with that. Is this now the best National League offense if that's their starting lineup?
I think it's an exciting one on paper.
Yeah, don't avoid the question.
No, I don't think it's the best offense in baseball. I mean,
not baseball, just the National League.
Oh, just the National League. No.
Just the National League. But yeah, they didn't go as far as, say, all of baseball. They narrowed it down to just the National
League. No, I mean, I think it's definitely a lineup that's going to compete with Cubs pitching and even Cardinals pitching, but I don't think it's the knockout, drag-down best lineup.
So, yeah, you know, I do think it is quite interesting. I'm not sure if I would go as far as the best, but I guess I guess come the end of the year, if they end up being the best, you know, I may not be surprised by that. They have, you know, a lot of talent. I mean, you know, Jeanette has really picked his offense since going to Cincinnati. You know, Suarez just produces. He's like the definition of the under-the-radar guy. You know, I guess I am a little worried about Kemp at this point. You know, he's headed to 35, mm-hmm. and he's always had injury concerns. I know he's been healthy lately, but, you know, do you think maybe he's a 30-homer guy in this ballpark? I mean, he's going to get 81 games in that launching pad. Can he be a 30-homer guy?
He should be. So should Puig.
Yeah. And well, we all know Puig is going to win the National League teams, you know, and then go into free agency, and those are going to pay him millions of dollars. So.
Well, I mean, it's a great park to hit in, and then not to mention, playing what? I forget the average, was it like 8 games at Wrigley? And then. You know, Milwaukee's not too bad to hit in. Neither is Seattle or St. Louis and Pittsburgh.
yeah, you know, I mean, it's definitely a, you know, it should be interesting. Yeah, I just thought it was kind of unique because that was the team they pulled off. I do wonder, you know, and it was weird because like they didn't really compare them to anybody, so I was kind of wondering who the comparisons were. But yeah, you know, I guess you just got to kind of wait and see with this and how they shake out. But yeah, you know, I know I've mentioned it before. I actually like what they've done this off season. Again, I don't think they're going to the playoffs or anything magical like that. But you know, it'll be nice to see them a little more competitive than they have been at lately. So you know, we'll just have to see how it goes. So, but yeah, that was kind of the the big thing to start, because obviously there's still not too much to talk about. But I was wondering on one thing. I saw this. Apparently, Jake Marrieta had knee surgery, but oddly, for some reason, they didn't give an exact time. They mentioned that he had it just a few weeks ago. Now, Dan, hasn't baseball season been over since October or November for the Phillies? Why the hell is he having January knee surgery?
Maybe he stretched too hard doing yoga.
You know, I mean, or, you know, is this just another one of these scams where it's a guy looking to get out of spring training? You know, because you know players hate spring training.
I think that could be part of it, but, you know, I was trying to pull that up while you're rambling on.
Yeah, you know, and apparently, they didn't say anything about even what he had done or anything. I don't know, you know, what the surgery actually even entailed. But they, you know, they did say he's not, you know, going to be too far behind schedule or anything. I just found it really interesting that, you know, the timetable on it just baffled me. And yeah, the article here from the Sporting News does say he will be ready for opening day. There were no structural issues, and he's already been off the mound a couple of times. We're just going to be smart about his running and cutting progression. So there you go.
I give it. All right, David. I mean, when they say he should be ready for opening day, we both know that's not going to happen.
Yeah. So, you know, he'll probably be, you know, a week or two late. So, you know, instead of making 30 starts, he'll make 28. But, yeah, I just, you know, I said I was just baffled by the timetable of it all. And, now, you know, this was a guy who, you know, let's face it, he really sucked at the beginning of the season last year because he missed spring training. You know, while he was doing his workouts on his own, that didn't compensate for the fact that he wasn't facing live, you know, live hitters. You know, he did end up 10-11 with a solid 3.69 ERA, but he only racked up 172 and two-thirds innings. That's not exactly ace caliber. You know, and you would think he would have wanted to get this done and get it over with and be healthy to prove to a team that's A, supposed to contend, and B, was the only team interested in him really in free agency last year, that he's ready to go, but apparently he doesn't give a crap and he just doesn't want to pitch in spring training. So I guess, you know, we'll just have to see how long it takes him to recover and if it affects him this year. So, you know, and it was his left knee. They said they said it was a meniscus procedure. So I finally found something that actually said what was done. But being his left knee, that of course is his landing knee, which he'll put all the weight on as he's coming through. So I'm under the impression that he already has a built-in excuse if he has a rough year.
Yeah, well, good thing he's on the NBA. He'd be up for the season.
Yeah, he'd be done for the year and probably the next year. So, but yeah, you know, while we're on the Phillies, you know, I think you posted this earlier. They extended Aaron Nola. He got 4 years at $45 million with an option year to make it a five-year deal. The last year would be $16 million. You know, what was odd, and I found this kind of strange, you know, I like to watch Intentional Talk, and it almost sounded like Chris Rose was taking shots at him for giving up a couple years of free agency. Now, in those 2 years he's going to give up, he's going to get $11.75 million and $15 million. So he's still going to be well paid. Obviously, there's a chance he could have made more out on the free agent market, but this is there. It's in writing. He's going to get it. You know, with the way the market is now, Dan, I mean, was it better that he took this deal for fear of him being the next Keuchel or Arrieta or Kimbrel or Cobb that just get stuck sitting out there waiting for a deal? Or do you think he should have, as Chris Rose tried to say it, he didn't want to bet on himself. Do you think he should have bet on himself?
No, not everybody's like that. I think it was part of it to take that deal and, you know, let the season, let the term play out. You know, despite what Chris Rose and everyone thinks, not every single pitcher is going to be a $30 million a year pitcher. And
yeah, well,
I think,
you know,
this gives them the time to prove it.
Yeah, you know,
along with the team that should be contending.
Yeah, I mean, even to add to it, Dan, if the contract goes 4 years, he'll be 29. If they pick up the option, he'll be 30. He'll still be able to get another deal at a really young age in a really good part of his career. You know, that and the fact that, say, they do pick up, you know, the last year, if he makes $31 million over the last 2 years of his contract, damn, that's not a bad living, is it?
No, it's a lot more than Chris Rose is making.
Well, no, I don't know. You know, Chris Rose has about, you know, six broadcasting gigs, so he,
yeah,
you know, he may be in that range. You got to be careful. I mean, you know, he's got the baseball network and the football network, and I think he's still doing BattleBots, even though I believe it got moved to a cable station that nobody gets. So, you know, but yeah, I always find it odd when, you know, like if Kevin Millar would have said it on the show, I may have taken it a little more seriously. But, you know, Rose seems to get to that point where sometimes he thinks he used to play the game and that he understands these guys when he's kind of like you and I, and he really doesn't. He, you know, he's more like me, just some fat guy. Except he's sitting in front of the TV monitor, unlike you and I who are just talking on, you know, online. So,
yeah, and I mean, to say that a guy is not betting on himself, you're saying he doesn't believe in himself, but, you know, maybe he looked at it as an opportunity to help himself out and help out a team that by the end of his contract with the option, they should be, you know, NL championship to World Series type team.
Yeah. I mean, what's wrong with staying with a contender? You know, I mean, they look like they're going to contend. I know their division is tough. You know, that's going to be the big thing with it. But, you know, I mean, he's coming off probably the best year of his career. You know, so it looks like everything is just kind of pointing in the right direction for him, and now there's no distractions. He knows where he's going to be, who he's going to be pitching for, obviously barring a trade. I don't know what there was there. And, you know, I mean, I thought it was a pretty smart move for the Phillies. I mean, you're looking at a guy who finished third in the Cy Young voting at age 25. You know, there's a chance he's going to do nothing but get better. So, you know, if he goes from, you know, he was 17-6 last year with a 2.37 ERA. You know, I mean, if he manages to get better, you know, you're looking at a 20-plus win guy. you know, and a probably a Cy Young winner down the road. So, yeah, it kind of baffles me when it's like, you know, the only reason you bet on yourself as an athlete is because you couldn't get a multiple year deal from somebody.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I thought that was kind of stupid as that went along. So, but you know, I am wondering, oddly, a lot of Philly news today, you know, and more Philly pitching news. They're reporting that Jared Eichhoff, is beginning to have issues with carpal tunnel again. Apparently he had surgery on this last year. So you've got to wonder what the issue is here. Do you think, Dan, and this of course leads me right where I want to go. You know, Eichhoff only pitched in 3 games last year for the Phillies because of these long-term injuries. He was supposed to be a key rotation piece. Do you think maybe it's time for them to give up the Machado Harper pursuit and get Dallas Keuchel's ass into camp and lock down that rotation?
I think so. I think they could do both.
So,
yeah.
Well, allegedly they're supposed to be able to. Remember, they were talking about signing both Harper and Machado. So,
yeah, they got to sign Harper, but I think it's ideal if they're able to get Machado and then bring Keuchel in, and then, you know, for Machado, they can extend that contract out for like 30 years, you know, while he'll only make, you know, maybe it's 12 or 15 million a year over the next 7 years, you know, from the 8th year on, and, you know, they could be spending him money for, you know, till he's 60.
Yeah, you know, because it's so weird because, you know, obviously, you know, we know the National League East has improved. You know, it's lining up to possibly be the best division in baseball. You know, I get it. You know, you want to land those big pieces. Now, you know, they did just make the big move. They got JT Realmuto, who, again, I keep hearing everybody say that he's the best catcher in baseball. I'm not quite buying that. But, yeah, you know, you get into their rotation. You've got, obviously, Nola at the top, who's a stud. Arrieta, who is now hurt, and you got to question what you're going to get out of him. And then you go Nick Pivetta, Vince Velasquez, and Zach Eflin, who are all kind of unproven, and in Velasquez's case, hasn't been able to stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the more and more I look at it, Keuchel looks like the perfect fit here, but yet there doesn't – well, you know, if there's interaction, we don't know about it. You know, are they just so – pig-headed or bull-headed that they've got to land a Harper or Machado, that they're overlooking what could be a really key piece here?
Or, you know, maybe they're pulling the old magician's trick. Watch my left hand.
They're the mystery team in on Dallas Keuchel? Oh, so...
yeah. Well, you know, I mean, technically we're not supposed to know about any deals and such. Or any negotiation.
Yeah, well, you know, it's been odd because it seems like it's been really quiet on the Dallas Keuchel rumors. I mean, you know, there was a little noise from Atlanta, but after that, I mean, have we heard or seen or anybody been mentioned?
No, and my internet went down, so I can't look anything up.
Oh, no, yeah. Well, let's see. Let's see if I can find something here while I poke around here. But yeah, it seems like it's been, you know, really, really kind of just kind of quiet on things. I did hear, it must have been Sunday or Monday that people thought that he was going to end up going back to the Astros. And it's kind of like, well, okay, I guess that's possible. I mean, I think they're still, you know, still kind of here. It does look like there seems to be some Milwaukee Brewer rumors, which obviously would be a fantastic signing for them, but I think we both know that this is something they don't do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks here, I found an article that has they mentioned the Brewers, they got the Twins and a return to the Astros, and then possibly the Angels and Braves as outside kind of contenders for Keuchel. So
I mean, if the Angels were wise, they would get it on that.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's funny here because the last part says, is Keuchel the perfect fit for the Phillies, and if so, why aren't they making the move? Buddy, I'm right there with you, man. I want to know the same thing. I don't understand why, you know, the Braves or the Phillies haven't been knocking on his door. You know, and again, I don't know what his demands are. I haven't heard anything. So unless he's pricing himself out of the market, I mean – why in the hell do you not want a left-handed starter who gives you 30-plus starts and 200-plus innings? You know, I mean, I know his ERA was a little up last year, but he's still a guy who keeps the ball down and doesn't give up a ton of home runs. It seems like he's got a big part job, right?
Yeah, well, and in Philly, you'd have three guys competing for the number one role.
Yeah. So, you know, that, I mean, like, for Philly, everybody in their rotation is right-handed right now. You know, wouldn't be a bad idea to add a left. But, yeah, you know, I mean, now it's to the point where, if you can't get him in camp here by the end of the week or whatever, I mean, you've really got to start thinking about bringing him in because, you know, we saw what happened with these guys who were out last year. I mean, it's a fiasco. If they can't get into camp and get working, you know, it's all downhill.
Well, Arrieta picked his stuff up, you know, what, through June, after June?
Yeah, about, you know, but I mean, you know, you don't want to give away, you know, if you're going to contend in the East, you don't want to give away 2 months of the season, right? Waiting for a guy to get his together? But I mean, I can understand the Harper and Machado thing because, you know, I know everybody's complaining about it, and I heard the word collusion today, Dan. I love how it's colluding that a team doesn't want to give a guy $300 million. I love that that's collusion. So, you know, I got a kick out of that one. But I understand why, you know, you're not jumping up and down and wanting to, you know, hand the checkbook over to these guys. I can see that, but... you know, or even a guy like Craig Kimbrel. I'm not giving Craig Kimbrel 5 years. I don't care what his resume says. You know, maybe I would give him 2 with an option or 3 with an option. But I'm not giving this guy 5 years. So I can understand why he's still sitting up there. But, you know, I haven't heard anything nuts out of Keuchel. You know, maybe his demands are through the roof and we just don't know it. But, you know, and I mean, I get the starting pitching has changed. But, again, but... you know, we're talking 30-plus starts and 200 innings. There aren't many guys who give you that anymore. I mean, he was seventh in innings last year. It's nice to have that guy in the days where, you know, you're asking your bullpen to cover 4, 5, you know, in some cases 6 innings a game. But I guess I don't know, right? What do I know?
Maybe the Angels are the mystery team.
No, you know, that, I think he'd be a good fit there, you know. So, you know, and we did have, we actually had 3 players win their arbitration today. So your guy Trevor Bauer won. He's going to make $13 million. Garrett Cole got a win against the Astros. He's going to make $13.5 million. And then Alex Wood got a win. He's going to get 965 from the Reds. So we did get some winners there. But, you know, I know, Dan, one of the teams everybody is hot on with the offseason, and you always bring it up, you know, they signed a reliever and added a power hitter is the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, you know, they look like a good team, and it, you know, looks like they have a possibility to really be contenders. And then I read this article, Dan, that makes me possibly think that their manager is a complete idiot, because they're talking about putting their best starting pitcher, who is Carlos Martinez, into the bullpen. Right, I thought that's why Andrew Miller was here, was to help settle down the bullpen.
Well, no, like I said, maybe he's going to be the opener 5 days a week.
You know, and I know he made, what did he end up making here? He made 15 bullpen appearances last season and actually did pick up 5 saves, but that was more due to injury than, you know, anything else. You know, again, Dan, we're talking about a guy without the injury last year. He made 32 and 31 starts in 16 and 17. 16, he pitched 385 in a third inning. 17, he pitched 205 innings. So basically, we're going to destroy starting pitching. Kind of like we destroyed every important stat in baseball because some sabermetric idiot thinks this is the way to go.
Yep, I think we've got about 7 more years of this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because looking at this, I mean, this just seems the rotation is pretty good with him at the top of it. I mean, he's your number one starter. So what are you going to do? You're going to put him in the bullpen. Miles Finkel was a really good year last year, his first year back from Japan. You know, you can't tell him as number one because you don't know if he can do it again. You know, Jack Flaherty is just 23, going to be 24. Adam Wainwright is going to turn 38. And then Michael Wacha is not only knows what because you just never know when he's going to be healthy. But yet we're going to take our number one guy who can give me 30-plus starts in 200 innings and stuff him in the bullpen. Yeah, you know, I know this guy, this Mike Schilt, or however you pronounce his last name, did well for them last year. Yeah, you know, he may be out the door already because this is easily one of the stupid things I've ever heard. And I'm hoping this is just nowhere close to being serious about. So,
well, no,
I just...
If you're going to move anybody, it would have been Michael Wacha.
Right. You would think with the injuries he's had, you know, he would be the perfect guy to just pitch an inning here and an inning there. But, no, we're going to pick our best starter, and we're going to stuff him in the bullpen because he had success last year because he was coming back from a shoulder injury and couldn't get fully ready to be a starter. You know, Dan, it's things like this that just really make me write the Cardinals off as a contender. I don't care if you went out and got Paul Goldschmidt or not. If you're going to be this stupid, you're not going to win, bottom line. You know, because then if you pull him out of the rotation, well, okay, who do you replace him with? You know, you got to fill those innings somewhere. So, you know, yeah, great. Here you go. We're going to yank him out and, you know, what, pray Alex Reyes is finally going to be healthy? Or, you know, Austin Gomer or Daniel Ponce de Leon, I just wanted to say that name, are going to come through. You know, I would gladly take one of those three guys over Carlos Martinez. Yeah, okay. Can we just got – somebody put out a memo and just – can we get these teams to just stop being stupid? You know, is it really that difficult for a baseball team to just completely stop being moronic and realizing that, you know, you need your best players in their best situations to win? You know, I mean, even if you plug Martinez in as closer, is he going to save enough games to make up the difference of those, you know, those innings you just lost? Yeah, I doubt it. But, hey, go ahead and, you know, go ahead and be smarter than everybody else. This is how teams lose. You know, when you're the smartest guy in the room, this is what happens. So go ahead and plug him in the bullpen, and, you know, maybe you can put Jordan Hicks in the rotation. He could be your opener every day, and let him go out there and throw 100 miles an hour for an inning and see how well that works for you, morons. So obviously I won't be picking the Cardinals to win Central like a lot of people are.
Now, is this like a for sure thing or?
No, it's one of those stupid things that it's being talked about. So, you know, because of the success he had last year, it's being talked about. More idiots. Just flat out idiots.
Well, you know, that's what happens when the front office starts running the team and not a guy who actually played the game.
So, yeah, it's just, again, like I said, it's another, if they do this, they're not going to. I don't care how great you think it is, and I'm sure, Ron Kenny will jump up and down on the baseball stage because he'll love this kind of thing. And yeah, they're not doing anything. Say goodbye to St. Louis if they make a move like so. Oh, you broke up hugely there.
Does that mean Fowler's leading off with Goldschmidt? Number two?
Yeah, he's got to hit second, right? So
yeah.
No, that's how it should be. We'll have to see how that works out. So, no other really big news, free agent wise. We're just waiting for the major idiots to get signed so the rest of the guys can find work. But, at this point, I really don't care where guys like Moustakas or Marwin Gonzalez land, especially Moustakas, because he was dumb enough to say he was waiting for Machado to sign before he would take a deal. I honestly think that was just Scott Boras pushing him off because he wanted to work with Bryce Harper. So I think he would have learned something from last year, but sadly he didn't. He lost a boatload of money by, not taking the offer that I forgot what it's called now, and now it looks like it's going to happen to him again. Yeah, qualifying, thank you. Now it looks like it's going to happen to him again because nobody's paying this guy.
That's KC for him.
Well, there are some reports that he may end up going back to Kansas City, but you damn well know they're not going to give him any money. He's not going to get 20 or 25 or whatever million a year he's looking for from the Royals. So, but obviously, he's buying the Scott Boras hype. So he can kind of deal with that on his own. And, when he's out, still out looking for a job come, opening day, maybe he'll have learned something, but sadly I doubt it. So, just one of those guys, but we'll see. I'm under the impression sooner or later some team will realize that they need some utility help and they'll throw a contract offer at Marwin Gonzalez, but even so, he's still not going to get the kind of money that I'm under the impression he thinks he deserves. So, but he is the new wave of player today. So maybe it works out for him. So I'm glad we started early so Dan can just kind of continue to fall off the line here. I don't know what's going on with us today, but for some reason we can't seem to keep. We can't seem to keep Dan with me here, but hopefully he will be back in here soon and I can bring him in. But yeah, I don't know. If you think we're off or I'm just out of my mind, which is quite possible, again, like I said, feel free to call us 646-478-3753. I believe the switchboard is actually up and working for me. So, we could actually talk to you today. If not, you know, email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com, and, you know, let me know what you think about, you know, these guys still kind of hanging out there, and, you know, how long before you think they get a deal, or, you know, what really happens with them. Because, yeah, it seems counterproductive to sign after camp gets up and running. It just doesn't make a ton of sense to me. But, you know, we'll see how, you know, if or how these guys manage and, you know, where they land. It's got to come to fruition here sooner rather than later, right? I mean, you know, we've already got pitchers and catchers in. So, you know, we're just kind of waiting to see where everybody else lands, and, you know, we'll go from there. And you do wonder if or how much the fact that Harper and Machado are out there is hindering these other guys from getting signed. You know, and I do, and see, that's why I thought Moustakas should have signed early, because, you know, there are going to be teams that wanted Machado or may still want Machado as a third baseman. So, you know, that's one more knock off of where Moustakas could have signed or could have played. So it just, you know, it just doesn't make any sense to me for, you know, him to sit out there and, you know, just kind of wait for what's going to happen. Okay, hey, great. I'm going to let this guy go get his big money deal while everybody else is eating up jobs, you know, all over the place. So, you know, it just doesn't make, you know, a ton of sense to me for this guy to do it this way. But, you know, it was his choice, and obviously, you know, he got the advice of his agent, which, you know, it is the Scott Boras Group. But I think they led him down a really, really bad path here. And, you know, he's going to be stuck on the outside looking in. I mean, you know, he's limited as it is to being a third baseman. So, you know, if he happens to land with an American League team, he could DH as well. So now you got to kind of think about it. How many teams are still looking for that third base slot? There aren't a ton of them floating out there. I mean, we kind of run over them here. You know, we'll start in the National League, and you start out west. The Diamondbacks don't need a guy. The Rockies don't. The Dodgers don't. The Padres could possibly use him. So there's one possible landing spot, but they're reportedly to be very aggressively trying to get Machado signed. So there, you know, so maybe if he doesn't go there, there's a chance. The Giants don't need him. We go into the NL Central. The Cubs don't need him. The Reds don't need him. There's been talk that the Brewers want to bring. We're taught about bringing him back, but that moves Travis Shaw back to second, and that's a fiasco. That's a defensive fiasco. I don't think anybody wants to deal with for a full year. So I don't think that happens. The Pirates don't need him, and the Cardinals don't need him. All right, we get into the East. The Braves don't need him because they brought Donaldson in. There's no reason for the Marlins to use him. The Mets don't need him. I doubt the Phillies need him because they have Franco. I don't know how much of an upgrade they would think he would be over him. So maybe that's an outside possibility if they lose out on the Machado Derby, but I don't think so. And then you got the Nationals. They don't need him. You know, Anthony Rendon is one of the more underrated third basemen out there. So we jump into the American League. We slide into the West. The Astros don't need him. You know, the Angels could be an outside possibility, so maybe something could happen there. The A's don't need him. He doesn't fit into the Mariners' plans, and the Rangers signed Asdrubal Cabrera instead of Moustakas, so he gave away a job there. We move into the Central. He could. The White Sox could actually use him. You know, he could be an upgrade there for them. The Indians don't need him. The Tigers don't need him because they have a young guy in Candelaria. The Royals could use him, but like we said, we're not going to pay him. The Twins don't need him because they have Miguel Sano. We get out east. I don't think the Orioles would bother. I'm sure they could use him, but in the position they're in, why make that signing? The Red Sox don't need him. The Yankees don't need him. I guess it's possible the Rays could use him. What is Tampa's third base situation? I'm kind of drawing a blank there with who they got over there. Who's listed at third base? Well, they list Matt Duffy at third base, so you know that could be an upgrade there for them, at least power wise. So, you know, we put them on the possibility list, and I don't think, you know, Toronto's not going that route because Vlad Jr. is a third baseman. So that left us with what? One maybe really good landing spot in the White Sox, you know, and then a bunch of, you know, obviously San Diego would be up there if they don't land Machado. But, yeah, other than that, I mean, where's your home? I mean, we're looking at two decent teams, and that's if the White Sox want to wrap him up, because they're still gonna be, you know, losing games even if they bring him in. They're not quite ready to contend. So yeah, it seemed really kind of dumb for him to sit out and not, you know, and wait on Machado like he did. I mean, that just seemed like stupid negotiating tactics, and you know, teams have filled up their jobs and moved along while he's been sitting at home, you know, watching the Real Housewives of whatever. So, you know, we'll see. You know, we'll see where he ends up landing. But yeah, I don't think it was good negotiating tactic. And honestly, I blame a lot of it on his agent. You know, I think Boris kind of snowballed him and convinced him that there was a market for him and he could wait this out. And, you know, in the end, he's going to get the shaft again. But, well, you need to learn, and apparently he didn't. So.
Now, after Machado doesn't sign with the White Sox, do you think, I mean, cause I think, I really don't see the San Diego thing happening. But, I mean, do you think the White Sox or San Diego is going to throw one with an option or two with an option?
You know, I don't think they're looking to go that short term. I honestly think if they're going to sign a guy, it's going to be three or four, because they're going to sign somebody they want with them when they think they're going to contend. So, you know, they're going to have to decide if Moustakas is that guy when it comes to that point. And I'm not sure that they will. So, you know, it's definitely going to be interesting. I just don't know if this is going to kind of work out the way he's hoped or thought or was told it was going to work out. And that's the interesting thing to me is, you know, I would love to know what bill of goods he was sold to make him think that there was a big market out there for him. You know, because he left a lot out there.
You know, Boris had a 75-page report for Arrieta. You think he gave Moustakas like a 50 pager to read? Like, this is what you're worth and why we're waiting it out?
Yeah, you know, you wonder. I mean, I would love to know what made him think to wait it out. You know, that just seemed like the minute that came out, it seemed like one of the stupidest things I had heard. Because, you know, it just didn't make any sense. I mean, why would you let job go? You know, I mean, you know, even if you didn't want to go to Texas, why not keep them in as a negotiating team? You know, but instead by giving up the right to, oh, well, you know, I'm not going to sign till, you know, they knew right away, okay, well, we don't have to worry about this guy. Let's go out and get, you know, somebody. So they, you know, they picked up Cabrera. You know, now there's nothing wrong with Cabrera. He's a solid player, and, you know, he did have a big power year last year. But, you know, Moustakas could really be a, you know, I mean, he could be a 35, 40 homer guy playing in Texas 81 games a year. And I think all in all, he's probably a better defender because he's been a full-time third baseman where Cabrera has played some second, some short. You know, he's kind of bounced around. But, you know, he shot himself in the foot by saying, yeah, well, I'll sign after he does. Well.
Well, and then we have two more weeks till, you know, the players. Is it 2 weeks? I know, you know, I think by Friday is the last day that all catchers and pitchers report. You know, do you see an urgency in any of these teams that want to lock in a full-time third baseman like Moustakas?
You know, I could see, you know, the only two teams that jumped out at me were the Padres and the White Sox, and that's only if they lose out on Machado. You know, and even then, I mean, there's no guarantee that either of these teams jump because they're still rebuilding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, like, I honestly don't think the White Sox would have any trouble if they had to play Yolmer Sanchez full-time at third base again. I don't think that would be a really big issue for them. You know, I mean, he's a solid little player. I honestly think he's a better second baseman than a third baseman. But, you know, he's doing what he's asked. You know, it may be a little bigger need for the Padres because right now they're projected to play Ty France as their starting third baseman. So I don't know how that quite is going to go. You know, he could be a much bigger fit there. But, you know, all the reports are that San Diego is really, really stepping up the Machado pursuit because they're realizing, you know, I mean, obviously I'm sure they're looking at their depth chart going, boy, this is a real need for us. Let's go get this guy.
And then we'll trade him in 2 years.
Yeah, well, you know, and if, you know, if their, you know, quote-unquote farm system is anywhere close to what people seem to think it is, you know, they might not be that far away. So, you know, you just got to kind of, you know, they're kind of in a wait-and-see mode. I mean, if they add Machado, it would be interesting to see how they do. You know, and then from there it would be, okay, well, you know, when do we see Tatis Jr.? What does he do? And, you know, they did sign Eric Hosmer and still have your guy Will Myers. They added Kinsler, Ian Kinsler, who's a nice veteran presence. You know, he's coming off, he just won a World Series with the Red Sox. So it's always nice to have one of those type of guys around in the locker room with a young team. So, you know, I mean, it's definitely an interesting team, but man, they are really dependent on young pitching. That's always really scary.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, with their projected rotation going in this year, they don't have a guy who's older than 29. So, you know, that could be
when you talk about, especially, I think, more so Machado, and the sweepstakes for Machado in the, you know, between the Phillies and the Padres, and maybe a few other teams, do you think that's what's halting any talk with Dallas Keuchel? Because obviously Keuchel's going to want more than 2 years. And if you don't know how you're going to be structured over the next 10 years, do you think that's what's kind of hurting his opportunities?
You know, I think maybe for a team like San Diego, but if Philadelphia really has the money they're talking about, you know, I think he could have been signed there. You know, yeah, I would, you know, and then again, you know, it could be possible he's looking for 20 or 25 million on a, you know, a 7-year deal or whatever. And then I could understand why he's still out there. Because I wouldn't want to go that long, and B, that's a lot of money to tie up. So I could see that, but and for whatever reason, you know, his contract terms really haven't came out like a lot of guys have. So I don't know where that kind of puts him. But yeah, I don't think with San Diego, I think it's a big more of a deal, because I think they can probably only get the one guy, where Philadelphia is allegedly able to add two or more. So. You know, and then, you know, with all the pitching San Diego allegedly has coming up through the system, you know, they may not want to add another starter for fear of holding back their guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that, you know, as weird as it is to say, that's always a possibility. So, yeah, well, you know, we'll just kind of have to, you know, sit here some more and wait and see where everybody ends up. But yeah, I don't understand Moustakas' thinking, and I'm baffled by the fact that Keuchel is still on the market. So
now, you know, something we had talked about just briefly, and I mean, do you think it would? I don't think it would happen into the next CBA at all, you know, maybe in the future. But do you think it's at all legally possible? And I don't mean legally as in you go to jail if you don't do it. But do you think it's at all legally possible in the wording where they could cap off signing dates?
God, I hope so.
So that we don't, you know, so we don't have this extenuous just drag out. You know, this is, I think, worse than watching, a 15-round boxing match.
Yeah, well, you know, I think sooner or later, and, man, I really hope it's sooner, the teams are going to realize that you need these guys signed and in camp by the start of camp. You know, you can't be dragging this crap out into spring training and, you know, in some cases until the regular season gets started. So I'm hoping, you know, that's one of the things they bring up when, you know, the new CBA comes in, or if they're working something else out with the players union. You know, it's definitely something down the line that we need to see, because this is just absolutely ridiculous that these guys are sitting out there, you know, unsigned for this long. You know, and I mean, obviously, you know, I still blame the agents for a lot of it. And, you know, I know their excuse is going to be, well, I want to get my guy the best deal. So I'm going to keep him out here as long as I can, and until he gets the best deal. And, you know, they're not going to short my guy. So, I lay a lot of this blame at their feet because, you know, face it, the majority of them are tool bags, and, you know, they're just looking for their 10% or 20% or whatever they're getting now. They don't care where this guy signs as long as it's for the most money. You know, I don't think anybody is stupid enough to believe an agent actually cares about a client. So,
hey, didn't you see Jerry Maguire?
Yeah, sadly, I think we all know that's not like that life, huh? But yeah, you know, we'll see where, you know, these guys finally end up. I mean, again, sooner or later it's got to happen. I mean, we're getting right there, and I don't think it affects hitters as much as it affects pitchers. You know, obviously J.D. Martinez was out for a little bit last year, and he still did okay. So, you know, I don't think that's too big of a drawback, but. You know, these pitchers are just, you know, I mean, these guys sitting out like this, it's just, it's nuts. So. You know, and we'll see, you know, like you said, hopefully they come up with it and they realize that, you know, they need a signing deadline here. You know, it's got to be like, hey, look, you know, we've got to have this guy in by, you know, whenever. But, they've got to be in.
You know, and if it's not signed by this day, the agent gets a reduction.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I think the big issue. You know, the what if of, okay, well, what if he's not signed by this day? Then what do we do? You know, because you know there's going to be some agent out there who's going to want to test that. And he's just going to be like, oh, okay, well, I'm not going to have my guy signed. What are you going to do to him? So I think that's kind of the big question is, you know, how do you deal with it if somebody was actually not to sign. I mean, I don't think baseball has a big enough pair to where they would punish a guy and just say, well, he can't play this. Good luck, sign him next year.
Yeah. Well, no, you're right. But I mean, if they were able to restructure like a time period for trading, you know, where, you know, you're only allowed to trade inside this period, without the stupid waivers and all that, you know, if you're not signed by, you know, let's just throw the number February 1st just because it's easy. Well, you're not available until, you know, whatever that the beginning of the trade starts.
Yeah. So.
You know, I mean,
yeah,
granted,
you know what I mean?
The teams don't really, you know, nobody's really trading in April. So we did Memorial Day to, you know, July 30th.
Well, obviously, it wouldn't be difficult for teams or players to adjust to this. You know, it would solve a lot of the foot dragging that goes on. You know, because I think there was a time period for about 2 weeks where Machado's agent wasn't even accepting offers. He was just trying to let the market build. So, you know, obviously we would get rid of that. And, you know, it would make the offseason a lot more exciting. Because let's face it, are you enjoying this?
No.
Sportsline
Radio.com.